So the only name that comes to my mind for today's talk is embracing, to embrace. You can see like all the rocks here and how they build on top of the rock. And this seems very, in a way, original here. It seems, wow, there is a rock in the room. But actually, in many, many rural houses around, many, you can see these rocks in the house. The whole building of the houses, it happened in a very organic way. Usually people were moving to some area because it was water or good land, and then they started on the flat, on the flattest part of that land, a house. But then family came, family grew, and then they kept adding rooms or buildings into that house. So it's almost impossible to tell from which century a house is. But in the Pyrenees or the houses I know in the countryside is like that. There is this part from that century, this other part from this other century, and there is no way to know why that happened this way. But then if they had to build a room or to make the house bigger, they would not bother to flatten the rock to make it the way we like now, flat and square, nice and perfect. Luckily, they didn't need much drawing, like, to make the houses, otherwise they would become crazy. One time I had the honor of having to measure a house, to make a kind of a drawing of the surface of the house, in a countryside house. It was totally crazy, you know, like, the wall with, like, here 2 meter, there 1.5 meter, is like, not 1-2 centimeters, like, totally different, you know. There was no way to draw a map of the house, you know. So similarly happens with all these houses. So they don't bother to take the rock out, so they just build on top. So then the houses, one house could have like 6 different layers, not because real layers, but because there is on top of the rock there is a room, then there is this other rock, and then this other room. And that makes me feel, or reminds me of our situation, actually, that we are who we are now. We got to be that. And somehow it's almost impossible to know, like, to trace back what made us to be the way we are. In which moment we build that room on top of that rock. Sometimes you can manage to guess, you know, that moment, that moment of suffering or that moment of joy, like some things in the past, we can kind of sometimes make a kind of a puzzle and try to guess what happened there. But mostly we don't really know. We don't remember in which century, we can say, that was made that way. We built that way. We don't remember the reason. And maybe it's not important to know the reason. Let's leave this to the psychoanalysts, no? To know the reason. To know why that happened like that. And let's a little bit get to where we want, which to where I guess we want, which is to heal that. Sometimes it feels that without knowing the reason, it is not possible to heal. We have to know. We cannot handle not to know. But many times it just doesn't work like that. Many times we don't know, and we still can feel those rocks. Still we can feel our history, everything that happened, that made us to be what we are. It feels that the only way that knowing, the only reason why getting to know the why we got that those rocks is simply to understand or to see through the rock. Not that much to get to know the rock, but to see the rock so that we can see, we can filter through the rock and see what is behind that rock. There is a sense that we could say that all those rocks have a meaning somehow. They haven't been put there for what we believe was our benefit. And I think that helps. It helps to feel the goodness behind what we think is hard, behind what we feel is painful, is old, is habit, is heavy. Sometimes we get into this duality, that which is dark, that which is hard, which is difficult, and that which is light, alive, white. Sometimes we don't even have this duality because we are too stuck in the dark. We only see the rock. We only see the rock. And sometimes we don't only see the rock, but we totally get used to believe that we are this rock, that there is no other possible way to be. Could be interesting to really feel if this is true, if there is an other way to be, if there are other possibilities for us, if we can be bigger than what we think we are. It feels that only by discovering that another world could be, another way of living could be, it feels that only then we are invited to wish that. And in this wishing, there is the wishing that this, that is not only wishing, but there is a must or I have to. That it becomes forceful. It becomes like going around with this thing and a hammer, trying to break the rock. And as far as I can tell, the only thing we get out of going like this, with this thing that I don't know the name of, and the hammer, the only results I saw so far, surprised me otherwise, is that this arm gets so painful and tired, and we didn't even start yet. There is a little tiny hole there, you know. We have this whole rock to break down. It doesn't seem to me that we get much far by pushing it, by wanting to get rid of that. There is another kind of willingness that maybe is more like connected to the longing. That it feels to me much softer, simply because it seems to come from a more centered place. From a place that knows that another way is possible. Not from a place that wants to get rid of that, but from a place that knows that melting is possible. That this is not the last word. Even if I have been like this my whole life, even if everyone knows me that I am like this, somewhere, I don't know where, we know, we feel, we have this taste that we are something else. And this following this longing, in a way, means only to be true to that, true to that intuition, to that which knows about this possibility. So this longing that doesn't use force, it uses connection, it uses wisdom, also knows how to find a way. So not only force by the hammer or by the mind, thinking that I'm going to get rid of that and trying different things, which means like in a way knowing which tools to use, but trusting that once the belly sees this potential, the belly has inside this wisdom to find a way to meet this potential. Of course, we would like to know it, but something else knows it. So let's give time to that. Let's give time to that. I remember when I was a little smaller than now. Even smaller. I was full of fire. Horrible. I still don't understand how people still call me, kind of. I was so much like pushing, bothering, like looking for, like just ready to go to the end of the world to find a way. I didn't care how far, how. It doesn't matter, just like. Or there is something else, or I don't want to live. That was the summary of the thing. So I was knocking on the doors, I was writing letters, calling, boom, 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 everyone. And of course I was like 16, 17. So the always present sentence I had to hear from many, many, many mouths was patience. every time I wanted to just kill that person. Patience. What do you mean, patience? You know, who knows about tomorrow? My father just died. He had a disease, but 4 months disease, so 38 years old. So I really didn't, I couldn't handle this. Patience, you are young. I just wanted to, really, I I'm a little energetic, so I really felt like smashing that person. But over and over this sentence, patience. The word patience to me in that time, it felt like as if they were saying to me, like, just stop, be quiet, kind of, but more like stop this fire, wait. And that was, in a way, impossible. When the possibility comes, when you feel, when you fall into that place, there is no way you can wait. No matter how many times they tell you, there is no way you can wait. But in another way, I could say those words, patience, were full of truth. I understood patience as just waiting, like in the bus station, you know. But they were saying, those voices of wisdom were saying, patience. Patience with weight. Weight meaning heavy, like with, you know. Or not, don't run. Don't go with the hammer. Don't bang your head on the wall. There is another way for healing to happen. There is another way for transformation to happen. It's not just waiting, like waiting for the bus. But also is not burning yourself into fire and getting tired. So what could be this somehow way in between? Where we have access to the longing, to that which is not from the head, to that which wants, that which knows the direction. And that other part that just doesn't want to do anything. And it feels to me that this is not just a one question we have and then we say, okay, so I choose this or that, and then the question is solved, you know. It feels more like a dance. Sometimes the fire. Sometimes the weight. And sometimes, only sometimes, we kind of manage to follow the thread, to actually see through and to move from there without force, but not just doing nothing. It could be helpful, and I think we all have some kind of experience with that, to look behind, to see how many things we thought impossible a few years ago, and how suddenly they are not bothering anymore, they are not there anymore. Perhaps we didn't notice the exact moment where we were left without that rock. But we have memory. I think most of us have memory of just looking behind and kind of, where is that rock? Where is that rock? You know, that big rock. Where is that rock? And that rock somehow is not there. Who did that? The hammer, no? Who did that? How that happened? It could be helpful sometimes to read a little bit some Zen stories. Just because the master somehow always ends up saying, go away and come back in 10 years. And we can feel, ah, at least that rock went in 2 months. Or in 5 years. It does take time. Somehow it also took time for the rock to be built. We're building it, involved in that. We didn't notice. We were protecting ourselves by saying yes to that rock. Maybe we survived thanks to this rock, those rocks. But now, perhaps we discover that we don't need them anymore, that there is some other way. And when we discover this potential other way, usually the tendency is to start solving the problems. Today someone was saying in the group how it's possible to feel this sadness and also to see beauty around. How this can dance together. How we are not only rock. We are not only, you know, someone in this blissful space. We go back and forward. And it could be very, very interesting to just not to try to solve, to fix things, but more like to be kind of juggling with all which is. Sometimes it's sadness, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the life needs to be sad. Now it's sad, but then I turn the head and I see a butterfly, and then it's joy. To be open to both. Just catch ourselves how much we like to have something to work with. You know, like we like kind of to make bread, you know, especially if it's something dark, you know, heavy, like more, nice. You know? To see if this is needed, or if we can just like, this is here, okay. Still there is blue sky. Today. Still there are trees around. There are insects. There is life. In a way, I'm asking us to be a mess. To allow ourselves to be a mess. Not just for the fun of it, but but actually, you know, by allowing this mess to be, and at the same time, this again and again coming back to the longing, to that which knows that this is not the last word, that which knows our potential. Then a way kind of gets found, like the water going down. There is nothing that can stop it in nature. Just only when humans come and put like a cement wall, then we manage. But still, I see them coming. So to allow ourselves to be a mess. As far as I remember, when you fill up the registration form, it didn't say anywhere, you cannot come to this retreat if you are if you are a mess. So we are allowed to be that which we are. To be all that we are. Not sad or heavy under the tree and then nice once we come into the meditation hall. But what we are in the meditation hall and outside the meditation hall. It just feels that only when we embrace everything that is, everything, it seems that only then there is access to some other place that we can call meditation for now. I would say a place of healing, a place of transformation. It feels that is a kind of a condition. We are not allowed to get into this healing place, this transforming place, leaving our things behind. We are also not asked to be perfect to fall into this place. But definitely to be kind of honest with what we are. The rocks, the not rocks. Only embracing the door opens to something else, to some other place, bigger. In other words, what we are doing here in this very meditation hall is totally related to our life, to our daily life, to our work, to our relationships, to our car, to everything that we deal with in our life. being honest with ourselves doesn't leave any space for us to escape. People say, people wonder, don't you think that this meditation could be a way of escaping? Not if you meditate. Not if there is meditation happening. This falling into this place that we can call meditation, it doesn't allow us to escape. It doesn't allow us to leave anything behind. It's so total. Sometimes we notice that things change in our life. Sometimes we don't notice. But it feels to me that goes even it seems to me that doesn't depend only in noticing or not noticing. Of course we like to notice. We like to know where we are. We like to know we have which grade you have in each exam, kind of, you know. But sometimes we don't know. And that doesn't mean that nothing is happening. That doesn't mean that. I like a lot the idea of the Zen working with the koans, with those stupid questions, that there is no way to answer from the mind. What the koans do, or try to do, is to create a link between the meditation, the different meditation states, our experience in meditation, and our daily life. So even though this is already happening, the koans help us somehow to bring that into awareness, to become conscious that actually this is related to that, that nothing is left behind. It's a way of making sure, step by step, that nothing is left behind, in a way of understanding somehow the process itself. Now the koans, I feel, are losing its aliveness because now the masters seem to like to follow a book. But actually the koans, those questions go so straightly, like so directly asked to the heart of the person who is in that specific moment, in that specific experience, that really make some shift. It really makes a link between what we are doing here, what's going on here, with our life. We had been lucky enough to find this amazing place where to live this month, Vijaya, somewhere very up the mountains. People would say, oof, too up, my mom would say. It's a really beautiful place once you are up there. if the car manages to get up there, which is not always sure. There are a few beautiful challenges, I would say, beautiful things that makes us to be in contact with the earth, with life. We don't have a bathroom. There is a dry kind of latrine somewhere. If it's nice weather, it's no problem. But when it's windy, it gets a little more complicated. Also, we don't have water. I mean, we have a little water, but a kind of a tiny decoration sink that I'm kind of obsessed in changing it as soon as possible. So we have this tiny, nice, decorative sink that you cannot really do anything there. You cannot wash the dishes, I mean, you know. We cannot fill a bottle because it's too small, the whole thing. So we have to go out of our little tiny house and then go out, then open a door and then cross the garden, and then there is the washing dishes area. So you can imagine that we are with the dishes. I don't know how, but they are always dishes to wash. And then one door, another door, the dog jumping around, like 50 chickens around, and then open the door, cross the garden, and try to get into the washing area place. And somehow there is this beautiful rooster. Rooster? Rooster. Beautiful rooster. That he doesn't like to be where the other chickens are. He likes to be in that little garden, like that you have to cross. There is no other way. You have to cross to go to washing the dishes. And this rooster had some problem when he was a baby. He was small, you know. And somehow he didn't like already to be with his mom. He didn't want to be with his mom. So one friend, like human friend, took him and was feeding the rooster every day, you know. So I think this rooster somehow got confused, you know. So he is in this little garden, and what happens is that he is in love with a black tube. I'm not joking. This is true. He really thinks that this black tube is his girlfriend. Really. He's the whole day in the black tube. Yeah. And happens that he is very protective of his girlfriend. You know. So, as a good rooster, you know. So, there we are with this bunch of plates and, you know, everything breakable, you know, not things that cannot break, you know, everything like, you know, plates, glasses, stuff, everything. Then opening the door and then going there, and then suddenly the rooster just comes like straight to attack you. Just, and straight, no, to the legs, like that. So it's almost not, you know, it's very difficult not to break everything, basically. It's so amazing to see this really beautiful rooster. It's the most beautiful of all the others. There are many others, but this is the most really beautiful. And it's so sad to see him so confused. His entire life is about protecting his black tube. It's so sad. And really made me think, what is our entire life about? Somewhere, we got confused. Or maybe we got gradually confused. And we spend a lot of energy just protecting that which we think we are. Sometimes we attack in order to protect that. Sometimes we close down. It's the same. I really think it's not worth to try to be who we, to try to be that which we are not. It's not that the other chickens are doing something special. They're just wandering around, pretty obsessed with the food also. It's fun to throw some piece of thing from the veranda, as if they never had food. So it's not that the other chickens are that different from the rooster. But somehow the other chickens are who they are. They are not more beautiful, they are not more ugly, but they are who they are. They are truly chickens. So it doesn't matter, you know, it's not that we have to, it's not that to be who we really are means to do something special, means to finally find out about my life. But just this being honest with myself. And in this just having the courage to be honest with myself, the way opens, the way to healing, the way to transformation opens, gets found. And we are able to look behind and discover that those rocks are not there. That we can breathe. That we can rest. That we don't have to keep on fighting or closing down. That there is a place for us in the world. That we are needed somehow. Maybe all have the courage to be honest. The courage to listen that which knows. We may all have the ability to embrace and to embrace and to embrace.